بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. I think guys are tweaking because
either way it's fine.
You hungry? You thirsty? You dehydrated?
Nah, man, I'm chilling.
I know he's lightheaded right now, probably. He's not thinking.
I had to promote, bro. We didn't even do anything today. Yeah, we're recording, you know, getting our steps in. But the topic of discussion, bro. You know, just one thing that clicked in my head was hardships. You know, when you want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how you may see things that are taken away from you, or you may see like life taking a turn. Because you think when someone wants to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they feel like, oh, my life is getting better. You know, I'm going to pray to Allah. I'm going to connect to my Lord. Like, I'm going to actually fulfill my purpose in life, right? Which is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're kind of taken aback when you start to see things going wrong in your life. But to you, they're wrong. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's the process. And you must trust the process.
Man, this is such a good point right here, because I was reflecting on this point earlier today, the day before that, the day before that, and the day before that. Because I've been thinking about this actually for the past week quite a bit. I was like, man, everything right now has been going pretty smoothly, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
You know, I've been having my little hiccups here and there.
Yeah.
But before this, I was in like such hardship for quite a while. And I was like, at those times, like, I was really constantly always asking Allah for help and drawing closer to Allah. And now that things are a little bit easier, you know, I'm not like that as much anymore. And I'm like, you know, it's kind of crazy. When I was out here going through all these bad things, I was closer to Allah. And now that I'm not, it feels like, you know, I'm not as close to Allah anymore. And I was like, you know, it's kind of crazy out here.
You know what's crazy is that in the Quran, it's expressed, like, Allah tells us about tells this about certain men, right? That or certain people, for like, for mankind, not just men, like men and women, that when things are going good for them, he says, like, oh, bad times. Or no, when things are going wrong for them, he cries out to Allah. Cries out to Allah. Like oh, Allah is his only refuge. And then when Allah relieves him of his pain and hardship and gives him from his mercy, then he acts as if Allah never gave him that. Mm-hmm. And he acts like as if like think bad, like he acts like as if bad things, he's free of bad. Like bad things can never come back to him. And you know what's crazy? Our hearts are always like, you know, they're fluctuating, you know, like your iman goes up and down. Maybe you slip up once in a while. And that's why you always have to be mindful of this, because when you slip up, like perhaps like the expiation of sins is a hardship.
You know? Yeah. What you said, it was, it's either in Surah Yunus or Surah Yusuf. It's in one of those surahs where it's like, they will call out to Allah while they're laying on their side or while they're sitting. And when Allah relieves their pain, they'll act like they never called out to us in the first place. And me reflecting upon this, I didn't want to become amongst those people. It's like, all right, if everything is going well for me now, this is where I should be remembering Allah the most. Because if you remember Allah the most during the good times, he'll remember you the most in the bad times, right? Mm-hmm. He'll be there for you and make things easier for you.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, like it kind of ties into, I want to bring that like into Ramadan, you know, like I want to tie it in with Ramadan. Cause you know, Ramadan, it's when people, some Muslims, they might not be practicing, but then they begin to practice during Ramadan. And they taste faith. Like they taste like faith for the first, maybe it's like for their first time doing Ramadan, or like they haven't been practicing for a while. Now this is like the first time they've practiced in a long time. And it's like, subhanAllah,
it's beautiful to see that happening.
Yeah.
But then it's also painful to see after Ramadan leaves for them to go back to their old ways. Mm-hmm. And you know, we hope to not go back to our old ways after Ramadan. And speaking of that, can y'all believe it's the 14th day of Ramadan? We're like halfway through Ramadan now.
Halfway through Ramadan. And when you brought up how some people may turn back to their old ways, like after Ramadan ends, it just reminds me of some videos that I saw, and I was like, people are patterning up, like, you know, they were showing themselves, fixing themselves because Ramadan came. And I was like, where was this before? Like, why does it happen the day of Ramadan? And whether it stays or not, it's none of my business. And it should be no one's business, because you shouldn't have to publicize like what you're doing in your life, especially your journey, like getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
But isn't that like beautiful though? Like when Ramadan comes, people, they begin to fix their act. Isn't that like a sign from Allah that this month is truly blessed? And you can really see, like, you can, like, I don't know, like this is obviously going to be subjective, but I can really feel like I can do better in this month.
Even me, like speaking subjectively, it's a lot easier to stay away from sins. It's a lot easier to go ahead and do good deeds. Like Ramadan is where it's like, you can do your usual things and be rewarded unusually. You know, you can You're out here doing your normal things, but yet you're rewarded so much more. But at the same time, you're also doing a lot of unusual things. It's a lot easier for you to give. It's a lot easier for you to stay away from sins. On the day of judgment, you're going to wish that you and your sins had a big separation from each other. And that's exactly how you want to be right now in the month of Ramadan. You want to have that big separation from you and your sins, and outside the month of Ramadan as well, because you don't want to be that person on the day of judgment where you have all your sins right next to you and you cannot create a separation between them. And they sit there and they eat you alive. And then that's the reason why you go to the hellfire.
Mm-hmm. And it's that thing with fasting in itself, like how you're saying you're doing, you're rewarded unusually. Like, you don't know what your reward is for fasting. Like, you could say, oh, me reading a letter of the Quran, that's 10 hasanat, right? Mm-hmm. Can you tell me how many good deeds you get for fasting? Mm-hmm. And it even tells you that's not even just because of like what the reward is in Ramadan. Even outside of Ramadan, fasting is a reward you can't count. The Prophet, why did he fast Mondays and Thursdays? So that his deeds were taken up in a state while he was fasting. Mm-hmm. So his deeds are multiplied, but he doesn't know by how much. He doesn't know what his reward is for fasting, but he knows that
because
it's
because Allah rewards the fasting.
Exactly. It's something that, you know, how we know that our rewards can be 10 up to 700 times, or however much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleases, like he decrees, right? Mm-hmm. The fasting is one thing you're not going to know about. And that's something that you're constantly doing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, you should always be mindful of Allah when you're fasting. And even me, myself, like, of course, you feel the difference in Ramadan, how like the shayateen are locked up, it's easier to not sin. But even when I'm fasting outside of Ramadan, I can still feel that, like, that control, because, you know, that's where fasting is going to come from. Like, you could feel that sense of control. Yeah. And why you're told to fast if you're feeling like, oh, I'm going to give in to my desires.
Yeah, why are you told to fast? So you can achieve taqwa. You know, you achieve that consciousness of Allah. It's like, all right, I'm not going to eat or drink now because Allah is watching me. I'm not going to sin now because Allah is watching me. I'm not going to look at things I shouldn't be looking at because Allah is watching me. I don't want to fall into sin. And then that's that idea of Allah's watching me while you're fasting is so engraved in your mind so much in the month of Ramadan that outside of the month of Ramadan, it should train you for those other 11 months to not go back to those sins, because you're always mindful of the fact, oh, Allah is watching me. You always have that on your mind, because if you can stay away from food or drink, things that you need to survive, what makes you think you can't stay away from bad habits? And I know we might say this a lot, but it's so true. It just goes over your head, one ear out the other.
And think about how it's a testament to the love that a believer has towards Allah. I'm going to give up food and drink just because Allah says so. Think about that. I'm going to get up in the night because this is beloved to Allah. I'm going to pray my 5 days because this is beloved to Allah. Like, this is a testament to the love of the believer towards his Lord. And Allah it's likewise. Allah does not decree something except that, like, it's like he doesn't make something fuddled except that, like, an action that he loves.
And the thing is, you're doing a lot of unusual things, but yet you're realizing things that you can do now. It's like, oh yeah, I always thought I never had time to read the Quran, but now you're reading the whole thing cover to cover, maybe 2-3 times during the month of Ramadan. You thought you never had time to do that. Someone might have thought they had no time to pray, but yet during the month of Ramadan, they set a time to go pray. Now they can go ahead and do that outside the month of Ramadan. It's all about changing that perspective, making time for things that are important.
Exactly. And I want to get into something that I heard. Speaking about how, like, you know, we always want to renew our faith in and out of Ramadan, but during the month of Ramadan, it's like a full month to renew your faith so that it goes year round. Like, if you try to actively change yourself during the month of Ramadan, seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and fast to seek his reward, right? To get all the benefits of Ramadan, then you can do it outside of the month of Ramadan too. And it's like your constant renewal of faith. And the brother who said this was comparing it to cutting in the gym. He was like, okay, when you want to feel a change in the gym, you're going to start cutting. You're going to cut the bad stuff out of your life. You're going to try to tone your body. You're going to try to do everything to get to the best shape that you can possibly be. And he was comparing it to your iman. During Ramadan, it's your cutting season. You want to cut so that you're in the best shape of your life and you're doing all the best things and you're staying away from all the bad things. You're not doing anything unhealthy for you. And in our case, we're not sinning. And he was like, when you're done cutting, do you want to go back to your old way so that you can be fat again? No, you don't want to do that. You want to stay that state. You want to keep getting better as best as you can. Mm-hmm. Whether you plateau a little bit is fine, because you're gonna realize that with iman, you're gonna realize, oh, I'm in a plateau right now. I'm not feeling like I'm getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time, I'm not feeling like I'm getting further away. So what can I do now to get better? Increase your acts of worship.
And it's like, you want to think of Ramadan, like, you want this Ramadan here or your next Ramadan, you want to think about it like, inshallah, 10 years down the road, dang, that Ramadan, it changed my life. Like, dang, that was the Ramadan. It all changed there. Like, and that's so real, because, you know, you got to think about it. Ramadan holds a Laylatul Qadr. You catch Laylatul Qadr, man, that's not talked about. You catch a Laylatul Qadr, man, your life, bro. That's you could change your entire life. I don't care like what situation you're in. It's better than 1,000 months.
And that's for anyone who's like going through whatever, if you're going through nothing at all. Know that your Muslim brothers and sisters are going through stuff. And you can pray for them. You can pray for yourself, pray for your family, pray for your future. And with the last 10 nights coming up, because we're already halfway through Ramadan, subhanAllah, like it's going by like in a blink of an eye. You want to take every single night from the 10 nights. You don't want to just be like, oh, this is an odd night, because Ramadan starts on different days in different parts of the world. So that means any given night could be one of the odd nights, which means every night of the last 10 nights for you could be Laylatul Qadr. You have no idea which one exactly it could be. That's why you're told observe the most like acts of worship in the last 10 nights. And that is from the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And one thing when it comes to Laylatul Qadr is the manner in which you do your acts of worship. Not only do you want to do more and stay away from sin and try to do your best to catch Laylatul Qadr, but don't ask any du'as thinking that you're kind of commanding it. Don't do it seeking your timing for it. We seek the timing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek what is best for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
It's not only that, it's don't ask thinking that it's not going to happen. Like, dude, you got to understand here, you're asking God. Quite literally, you're asking the one who in the Quran, you hear it plenty of times. He is over all things competent. He is over all things capable. You hear this plenty of times. Not only that, why would Allah prepare for us, give us a Laylatul Qadr, a night which is better than 1,000 months? Like our deeds are like this is, imagine you pray a turaqah. That's like praying turaqah for more than 1,000 months. Like, why would you, if it wasn't going to be like accepted for it, like for us? You should think, have good thoughts of Allah. Like, you know, the hadith Qudsi, I am what my slave thinks of me. Like, you should have these thoughts. And like, when you're making these dua, ask for, if you want something, ask for it. Like, I mean, inshallah, as long as it's good for you, you know, don't be asking for like no haram thing. You know, but if you want something, ask for it. You know?
In other words, you shouldn't be worrying about anything. You sit there, you turn every single stone, you do your best and leave the rest to Allah. And Allah will definitely take care of you whenever you seek His help, when you seek His mercy, you seek His guidance. Allah will ultimately help you. Like I was actually listening to a lecture earlier by like Mufti Ming, and he was talking about people out here, they worry too much. Oh, I don't have a spouse, I don't have this and that. And he said, man, if worrying got us married, we'd all have four wives. But he was like, subhanAllah, it's worrying doesn't do anything for us except for, you know, just
a bad
puts us in a state of fear and just decreases us. But when we out here, when we do our best and we trust in Allah, then good will come to us. And that's a promise from Allah, of course.
For anybody who's going through stuff right now, especially if you're on your journey, getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're using the month of Ramadan to kind of propel yourself forward so that you can be better after the month of Ramadan, know that you shouldn't be asking for just ease. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for strength to endure hardship, because hardship is a part of our faith. You're not going to escape hardship by being a Muslim. Being a Muslim is where hardship is going to come at you the most, and you should be prepared for it. It doesn't mean that the hardship is going to be something that you may see like happening to our brothers and sisters in the Ummah. It may be something menial to you, but at the same time, hardship is hardship. At the end of the day, it's how you react to it. It's how you deal with it.
And I would say even like being a Muslim, it teaches you how to deal with hardship. It's not, and it's beautiful what you said. Being a Muslim doesn't mean you're going to get rid of hardship altogether. Like that's not true. People think like, and especially like if you're a new revert, let this be a reminder. Just because you become Muslim doesn't mean things in your life, they're just going to magically build together. Like, nah, you have a big part of Islam is work ethic, struggling and striving for the sake of Allah. You got to understand what we're fighting for here. You got to understand what we're going towards here. We're going towards Jannah, we're going towards paradise. This is what we believe. Like,
and when is that anything that is worthwhile or worth it lasted a long time without it being easy? Nothing ever comes easy that's at least worth it. You know, if it came easy, then it's probably going to go easy.
You see how you made the point earlier when you were saying like everything in my life was going good, alhamdulillah, but mm-hmm. you felt yourself a little distant.
Yeah.
Because like when you're going through stuff, you're really like, you're backed into a corner. So you're just like, where can I turn? And I know where to turn. If I'm a Muslim, I know where to turn. I know I have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when everything's going good, you're the one in the field. You mm-hmm. have every direction to go. You don't know which one is right or wrong because you're just like, everything's going good, alhamdulillah. Like, so if you're not always mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're not kind of centering yourself. You're not putting yourself like in a confined space. The people of this world in our generation now, they want to be free. They want to have all the open space in the world so that they could do whatever they want. They don't have to answer to anybody. But us as Muslims, we confine ourselves. We confine ourselves so that we know we have boundaries.
No, it's and don't let the ignorance of others, don't let the, hold on. We seem to think that just because someone may be successful, we judge people based on their situation and not who they are, like, and by their actions. Just because someone is in a good situation, maybe they have their finances are straight, this and that, everything seems perfectly fine for them, that automatically makes them like a good person or a good Muslim. And likewise, we think just because they have all of that, it makes them a bad Muslim. Like, no, it doesn't. That's not how that works. You're like, your religion is your religion, and it's like, you have like your spirituality, you have your mentality, you have your health, you have your like your physical aspects. You must maintain all of these. And it's like, just because someone is doing good, like having success, does not make this person like a bad Muslim. Or they might think like, oh, this person has this life and nothing. Like, no, so it's very, very possible that this person could be blessed by God in this life and in the next life.
Yeah, because a lot of us have been made to think that being poor is, you know, righteous.
Yeah.
And if anything, it's far from the truth. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even he had money. You know, he gave it all away.
Gave it to
you know, he would give a lot to charity. And even with the Sahaba, like, they were very wealthy people.
I think that's why you have examples of other prophets that you're told about in the Quran. Like, people like to speculate who the richest man in the world was in history or whatever. But to me, obviously, it's going to be Sulaiman alayhi salam. He was given the dominion of, like, this entire earth, basically, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he asked for it. He took his one dua that was not going to be rejected and made that dua, and he was still righteous for it. So that's a prime example for us as Muslims to be like, okay, you could be poor and still be righteous. You could be wealthy and still be righteous. You can't look at someone who's a wealthy merchant in Dubai or Saudi Arabia or something and be like, man, he probably chose the dunya or something. Like, no, he could be more righteous than me.
What's wrong with that? If you ask Allah and Allah gives you, well, ultimately, what's wrong with that? If anything, it's a reward, and they should be more thankful to Allah. Because at the end of the day, they're being tested. What if that wealth leads them astray from Allah? What if they're not thankful to Allah because they got all this wealth? Exactly. Don't think that just because you're put into a situation that, you know, you could still go either way. Someone will be put in the worst situation in the world. They can continue to question God, or they can thank God even more.
Yeah, and like let's think about that type of situation, right? So let's say someone asks for wealth, and they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it good for them. They make all these promises. Oh, I'll give my money to charity. I'll take care of my family, this and that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them their wish. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what the end outcome is going to be, there's so many routes they can go, right? They could be the person who does exactly what they say they're going to do, or they could be the person who they don't do anything. They don't do anything that they promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't take care of their family. They don't give back in charity. They hoard their money. They spend it in the wrong ways. And on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will either bless them for keeping their promise and him being able to grant them this wealth, or he's going to punish them because they used their wealth in the wrong way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you this wealth, and at the end of the day, it belongs to Allah. You belong to Allah. Your wealth belongs to Allah. Everything you own belongs to Allah, because everything will be returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, all your material possessions, one day will just be crushed up. Mm-hmm. They're going to be done. They're going to be no more.
It's what you did with it.
Exactly.
How your intention was. And plus, if someone became a multimillionaire with a halal business, what are you going to say about them? You're going to say something bad about them? You're going to say that they probably did some sort of haram? Like, people have everything to say when they, you know, they have no experience in it. They're perfect.
And you know
themselves.
What's good? You want to, and like, what's odd about that is that, like, you know, you see that trend where it's like, you see someone doing good, like, oh, this guy is giving the dunya, like, wait till the akhir. Like, man, why you gotta assume the worst of this person? Like, oh, he must have did something haram, or there's no way he got that like this or that. Like, you just got that hesed, you got that like bad feeling, you got that envy, that jealousy towards
envy,
him.
Yes, exactly.
And it's like, man, you should never be jealous towards anything, because for every single person is their due share. And not only that, every single person will be recompensed. If you're a Muslim, you believe the day of judgment, there's no reason you should be jealous. You look at another person, you look at yourself, you have your own story to write. Why are you so worried about another person? Like, why are you worried about like other characters?
Exactly. And there's one thing that you said before. You were like, you may see someone on social media, they're showing off, oh, like, look at the good meals they have, look at their cars, or look at whatever they have. They're showing off their lifestyle, right? But you're like, you have no idea what they had to go through to attain this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, behind the scenes, they might not be feeling as good as they do in their pictures. They look amazing in their pictures, right? And this is this world of social media. People are going to always look good in social media because they're in front of the camera. But outside of that, you don't know what they had to go through for this. You don't know if they're still suffering. Maybe they're just posting this to show people like, oh, like, look what I have. But at the same time, they're depressed. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what they had to go through to get this.
Mm-hmm. And it's not for you to say, oh, I want this without knowing. Like, without, are you really prepared to go through what another person had to go through to get there? Like, no, some people, like, maybe if you saw,
That's actually so true where you talk about with social media, because, you know, I remember there was a time whenever my friends, like, they all went out. There was a time and I wasn't out with them. I stayed home that night. But yeah, it looked like they were having so much fun. Mm-hmm. You know, this and that was going on. I was like, man, like, I feel really left out. I was like, I missed out on everything. But then after that, they call me the next day. They're like, man, bro, you better be glad you didn't go out last night. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? Cops pulled up, this and this happened, a fight happened here, and somebody hit my car, and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just crazy. Like, you never really know, but the videos they were taking on their story, and the videos they were sending in the group chat, it looked like they were having the best time of their life. But then after that, the next day, they're like, man, you better be glad you didn't come. This and this happened, and it's crazy.
Situations like that make me think a lot. I'm like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really protected me from that. Like, and that situations happened, like, in high school, and many other situations like that happened to me, and I was like, wow, subhanAllah, like, when I finally reflected on it, it took me a couple of years and I was getting close to Allah. I was like, wow, he really, like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected me and I wasn't even asking for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, exactly. that's where the, like, my thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really comes in, because I was like, I didn't even feel deserving of help from Allah and he gave it to me. It's like, subhanAllah. And another thing, when, I almost lost my train of thought, but we were just talking about how, you know, you may want something that someone else has. You may want this wealth that someone else may be showing off on social media or whatever, or these side hustles or these hustles that people show off on TikTok talking about, oh, you could be a millionaire too, right? You don't know what they had to go through to get it. And what if you trying to go and get it sacrifices your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Now, not only that, on the day, when you look at, especially with social media, when you're so fixated on other people's lives, here's the reality. On the day of judgment, you're going to be given your book and they're going to be given their book. Your book's not going to be, and then you don't want your book to be filled with other people's lives. It's going to be told, اقرأ كتابك, read your book, and it's going to be enough for you as a, like, as an account. What did you do? Like, and it's, and I hate, like, I'll never understand. You could be like, when I see a person and they got it all, like, it seems like they got it all. I don't know. Just from my person, like, alhamdulillah, it looks like they got a nice life. For me, I'm like, damn, it's good for them. Back to work. Like, I'm waiting for my term. I come up, I'm just got to be patient. Like, you know, it's not about them. It's about me, you know?
No, that's actually a really good point, because I remember there was a time, like, oh, yeah, I used to follow, like, thousands of people on Instagram. I'd be like, man, I got to know what's going on here. I got to look at this. Man, I want to be like this. And then I'm just like, and then one of my mentors, he was just like, I don't spend time looking at other people's lives because I'm worried about building my own life here. I can't be out here looking at everybody else's life and comparing myself to them. I was just like, man, like, that's kind of crazy. And then I remember in that moment, I was like, man, I do follow, like, thousands of people. I was like, should I really unfollow them though? Like, what if I miss out on this and that? But then in reality, I just started doing it. I'm just like, bro, I'm really not missing out on anything. It's like once I got those things out of my face, like, out of sight, out of mind, now you don't even worry about those things anymore.
And think about it now. Do you even think about any other, do you even remember any of
No, of course. And that's when you have to really just take that leap. You know, when you're sitting there in that moment, just questioning things and you're just like, man, you know, whatever, it is what it is. And then you go ahead. And you're just like, wow, I never thought I could really live without it. But here I am living without it. And matter of fact, I'm living better.
It's crazy how, like, a split second decision or an instant decision like that, where even in the moment, it might have not seemed big, it had a big impact on your life. And that's, like, something you got to think about 24 hours of the day, every single day. You know, maybe you think sleeping early might not affect your life. It might.
No. This is a big thing for me. Matter of fact, sleeping early, man, I used to be that type of person where it's like, all right, I'm going to sleep at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., and I'm waking up at 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. Amen. And I'll be like, man, I don't need sleep, man. I feel good. I can drink a coffee and I'm feeling fine. But then the moments I started really valuing my sleep, I started sleeping 8 hours, you know, 9, 10 hours, whatever. I'm just like, man, my life just feels incredible. I feel like a whole new person. I feel like I could do anything.
you do though. Like, there's a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you the ability to sleep. Like, so you could utilize it so that you could rejuvenate yourself. Like, and one thing that I want to stress real quick is when you go through a hardship, don't look at anybody else's life but your own. Like, don't try to measure your life up to someone else's, because you're never going to measure up. It doesn't matter. No, like, it doesn't matter if you're doing better than them or if you're doing worse than them. You're never going to measure up.
Not only that, you can't convince me two people who go through the same hardship, two people, so let's just say they have a bad father, or a father who's abusive to their family, that they feel the exact same thing. People are going to react to things differently. You can't convince me that this person feels the same way and this person feels the same way. So it's so if they're not feeling the same, it's not comparable. Because at the end of the day, like, what you feel in your heart, you know, you're so true to that. And don't let the ignorance of others have an influence upon you. Don't let what they think about you confuse what you think about yourself, what you know about yourself.
And that's a good point, because you could say like, okay, these two people that had bad fathers, right? One of them could end up being like their father. The other one could be the complete opposite and turn into a great father. He's like, I'm never going to be like this to my child. And I'm gonna be there for my child. I'm going to do the exact opposite of what my father did, because he gave me a bad life. And I saw how that affected me. But this other person, he's like, man, I ain't have no father. So my kid ain't going to have no father. Like, it's the difference of night and day, bro.
But it's crazy, though. Like, you can see they can give the same exact answer, though. They'd be like, oh, yeah, I watched my father. They'll both say that, but yet two completely different outcomes.
And that's the point here. You can't look at another person's hardship, even if it's the exact same hardship. Like, you, what you're dealing with, you got to deal with that. And I want to bring up another point here. When I want everyone to try and think as of hardships, or not even just hardship. Try and be an opportunist. Take care of opportunity. This month of Ramadan, take care of the opportunity. Like the tarawih, the nights of Ramadan. Take care of the opportunity. There's people in Ramadan where Allah, he says to them, like, Jahannam's haram for you. And take care of the opportunity. Laylatul Qadr, take care of the opportunity. Look, don't let this slip.
Yeah, exactly. Don't let it slip, because you don't know if this is your last Ramadan or not.
Mm-hmm. And this is good again, because speaking of being an opportunist, this month of Ramadan, since the very beginning, it's the 14th now, like with it flying by, I've been sick every single day.
Yeah, word.
And I'm just like, man, like, I'm like, first of all, if I don't want to fast right now, I have the excuse not to fast. But then I'm just like, nah, I should fast now, because
more ajr.
Yeah, first of all, more reward. I'm struggling in the way of Allah. And on top of that, you know, I don't want to have to make these days up after Ramadan, because it's not going to be the same. You know, Shaitan's going to be out, and it's just not going to have the same exact feeling as the month of Ramadan. And, you know, being able to go to the masjid and pray Tarawih now, I'm not going to be able to do that after Ramadan, making up my fast.
Exactly.
And like, I'm just sitting there, even now, like being sick, I'm struggling. I'll be like, man, I can eat right now, and I could just use the excuse, oh, I'm sick, and I'll be fine. But in reality, I'm like, nah, man, I just got to keep it pushing.
Well, you really love Ramadan, man. I can't believe, bro. Ramadan's already 14 days, man. I can't wrap my head around that, man. Ramadan, it's the month. I can't stress it enough. It's the month of change. And I you know, one thing I'll be seeing like on social media and whatnot, like people say, they be calling people Ramadan Muslims, and I'm like, man, what if that's the Ramadan's the only month where they can feel like they have faith, where they could taste faith, and like perhaps that changes them for the rest of the year. And you're sitting here, you. Slandering.
There you go. I wanted you to say that ending part, because yeah, at the end of the day, if they're just being, you know, really good in Ramadan and they just end up not praying afterwards, then
that's different. But if you've only seen them worship during Ramadan, but then after, you know, they start to try to pick it up, that's
there you
different.
Go. If it's but a if turning
you use
point,
Ramadan is the only time, because it's like, you know, your family's doing it, you're just trying to,
or you're just not trying to feel left out. Yes, yeah. That's a different, but like I can't see that with my eyes. Like, I don't know what's in your heart.
Tell your intention, but it's you yourself. You know, because I'm calling you out. If I'm calling you out and you hear this and you're like, okay, I am someone who I only go through Ramadan, and after that, like, you know, I return back to my old ways, blah blah blah. Then check yourself. I'm not telling you you're bad or you're good. I can't tell you that. I'm no judge. What I'd do is I'd remind myself the same way that I'd remind you. Because everything that I say, I want it to be a reminder for myself.
Yeah, because how many people, like, for example, how many women have gone into the month of Ramadan, they put on a hijab because the month of Ramadan, then they leave Ramadan, they still put it on because now they feel more comfortable.
And that's, bro, that's like a sign from Allah. Look at the blessing of Ramadan. And it's like when Allah says something in the Quran, like, that's it. That's the, we were talking about this the other day. When Allah says something in the Quran, that's it. That's the utmost truth. That's the purest of truth. You can't get any more true than that.
It's like we were talking about earlier. Ramadan is like the month where the impossible becomes possible.
It's like where the...
You know,
yeah,
you sit there, you thought you couldn't do such and such, but then you do it on Ramadan, and then you pick up those habits after Ramadan. It's just...
Well, look
know,
at this.
There you
nobody
go.
Thought, nobody thought.
Nothing better than that. The biggest change that you can make... It's
what
in
came,
Ramadan.
What came down during the month of Ramadan?
The Quran.
And who in the world knew or thought that there was going to be another book after the Bible? The impossible became possible. A new scripture came down. Nobody believed it at first.
When the jinns heard it, they're like, "Whoa, we heard a wonder!" Like,
and they said, "Yes, we've heard
a book come after Moses, after Isa." Like, bro, it's crazy, right?
Exactly. They've heard something come after the gospel. They've heard something come after the Torah, and they knew that it was the book from their Lord. And that is why Islam moves as the strongest religion today. Look at the amount of non-Muslims, by the way. Look at the amount of non-Muslims who have gone on TikTok and Instagram, whatever, sharing their experiences with Ramadan, saying, oh, I'm observing the fastest of Ramadan and I'm very interested. Some people are going out of their way telling them, like, oh, you have to do this, 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 and this. I'm like, hold on. Like, when someone becomes Muslim, you don't just say, you have to pray, you have to leave this, you have to leave that. No, no. You got, let them see for themselves the beauty of what Islam has to offer. Because at the end of the day, guidance comes from who? It comes from Allah. It doesn't come from me. That's why we are not the guiders. I can't just, if I were to see you being a revert, me being like the ignorant human I am, I could be someone like, you have to pray, you have to leave alcohol, you have to leave your women. If you have a girlfriend, you have to leave her. Like, no, just give him some time.
You gotta like marinate.
Build your faith first.
You gotta make sure he knows what Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah means. Like, you gotta make sure he knows that first. You gotta make sure he knows like the Shahada, you teach him the five pillars.
But even that's how the Sahaba were. Mm-hmm. You know, yes. when they were sitting there in Mecca, you know, they were building their faith. And when they went to Medina, that's when, you know, the rules and regulations started being revealed. 13
years that they had to just build Iman. And that was actually in the khutbah that we just went to. The Imam, he was talking about how the
verses
surahs
in the Quran,
they came down in Mecca were about Iman. They were just telling about faith and teaching you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they went to Medina, then it was like, okay, the rules and the ahkam, right? Yeah. All showing you the rulings of Islam and their wisdom behind it. And the Prophet was there to teach them. So you see it. It's all a journey. Just because all the rulings are down now, it doesn't mean that you're going to submit to it right away. The same way that the people of Mecca, they couldn't submit right away to all the rulings of Islam. They had to learn Iman first. They had to learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. They had to learn what it means to be a Muslim before they could be like, okay, now I see why I should give this up. Yeah. Now I see why I should not drink. Why I see I should not smoke. Why I see why prayer is the best path for me to pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why these five pillars are the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you become a Muslim. Then you become a believer, a mu'min.
Yeah, it's crazy because, you know, it all starts somewhere. And matter of fact, I was this week, I was out with one of my Muslim friends and we invited a non-Muslim with us, right? Mm. So he comes out, he eats with us and we're out here, we're talking about Ramadan and he's like, man, you know, the Quran came 600 years after the Bible. So I'm like, okay, no problem. So I start answering all his questions and then he just keeps asking me more and more questions. And like, he's really listening. And like, he's asking me, okay, well, in Islam, why do you guys do this and this and that? And I'm answering all of his questions. And he's just sitting there listening and retaining all the information. He seems so interested. And then afterwards, what did he tell me? Oh, no, it wasn't what he told me. So afterwards, he just took all the information. He's like, yeah, this actually does make a lot of sense. So then later that night, he was researching. And then the next morning, he sends me a screenshot. He said, I didn't know that us as Christians, we had to fast too. And then we just start going in there. And then I sent him the verse from the Quran. It was talking about from Surah Al-Baqarah when it was like, oh, you who believe fasting has been prescribed onto, just like how it was prescribed onto the people before. Yeah. Right. And, you know, we just started talking about that. And I'm like, see, this is the real way of Isa alayhi salam. This is the real way of Moses. Like they had to fast too. You know, Islam didn't just start with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It started, you know, with the Prophet Adam alayhi salam. Mm. And then we just went from there. And it's just the like, you know, things are starting to make sense. He's like, you know what? I'm going to start with the Christian fast where it's like, all right, I'm only drinking water. And I'm like, yeah, there you go. It's a good start right there. And then, you know, over time, inshallah, may Allah guide him, you know, and become a Muslim.
I mean, I like that. I like to see it off that way. I mean, bro, I feel like I could talk about this topic all day long, bro. I'm not going to lie to you.
Or even what's it called?
It's getting close to iftar.
Or even what's it called? Our friend Brian, you know, he was an atheist. And I remember we were in the car with him and our other friend. And I just asked him one day, I said, so why are you not Muslim? And it just sparked up a conversation. He was like, I don't know. Like, there's no reason for me to believe in a religion. You know, there's no reason for me to believe in God. And then, you know, a year after that, he became Muslim. And then alhamdulillah to this day, you know, it's his second Ramadan. He's going strong. So
you have no idea how, like, how being straightforward like that could really just change someone's life. Because you change their perspective, you challenge them. They're sitting here, they tell you, oh, I believe in this or I don't believe in this. And then you're just like, why? When you ask someone why, they really have to think for themselves. Like, okay, why? Like, why do I actually?
Because we never ask why. We just do things blindly because other people do it. It's because our fathers did it, our mothers did it, our family does it. You know, you see other people around you doing it, so you might think something's okay. Or even our friend Aiden, he didn't necessarily become Muslim. Well, because I asked him a question like that. He started asking me questions because he would read me. And it's like, who'd you say was Khabib? He said, the non-Muslims, they don't read the Quran, they don't read the hadith, but they read you.
Yeah.
And he just went from there. He just started asking questions. And alhamdulillah, he became a Muslim as well.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah, SubhanAllah. You see, that's a lesson right there. You have no idea how much you can change someone's life by being an example for them as a Muslim, which is why, like, I made, like I said in a video, as a reminder to myself and to everyone out there that you are a representative of Islam. And especially during this month of Ramadan, like, we want to be the best example that we can possibly be, because we want to be the best versions of ourselves. But we want this to carry over year round so that people are always seeing the best version of Islam. And that's not the best version of Islam, like the religion, the best version of your way of practicing Islam. Because there should only be one way of practicing it. But obviously, people are going to do it differently. People have their own ways of doing certain things, and they may be comfortable doing XYZ while XYZ is supposed to be wrong. So be mindful of, like, what you're showing, what you're showcasing, especially in this day and age of social media and being in public, especially being in the West with all the freemixing and whatnot. Know that you are a representative of Islam, and you'll be asked about all that you have done, and you'll be paid in full for all that you've done. And with that being said, we hope you guys enjoyed this podcast, bismillah. I think it was a great podcast, great reminder for all of us. And by the time this comes out, the last 10 nights should be approaching very soon. It should be within a day or something like that, bismillah. So take advantage of the last 10 nights. And with that, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Hope you guys enjoyed this. Make sure to share this with your friends and family. You never know whose life you can change by sharing this podcast. Also, we're still students of knowledge. We're not scholars yet. So make sure you keep that in mind, that we're open to correction. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.